Fox creeping forward. He pulls up, 18-footer. De'Aaron Fox puts the Kings on top. Fakes once, fakes twice, gives to Belly. 35-foot three for the win. Nemanja Bjelica.
We deserve this win, man.
When we're done, we go chop it up, eat, right. Golf, whatever you want to do. But for these 48 minutes, I ain't about them games.
Welcome back to another episode of the King's Pulse Podcast presented by the King's Herald. My name is Brendan Nunes. Got Rich Ivanowski on here as we always do. What's going on, Rich? How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, man. Just watched the Sacramento Republic FC lose their first game in the season, but it's all good. Got some Sacramento Kings basketball in me this morning. That was interesting. It reminded me like a little bit of India, actually. I think it's the first time I've like been drinking coffee while watching a basketball game live at the same time.
Yeah, it worked very well for me. I'm working on weekends, and it didn't work amazingly. I didn't catch the end of the game, but you know, I mean, we're just seeing a lot of Jabari Parker minutes at the end of the game. So, I don't know how many notes you can take from these, especially playing the best team. Giannis doesn't play most of the time. But De'Aaron Fox's first game out there, we'll start with, was it a little weird for you kind of picking him out with the haircut? I almost got him and Bazemore mixed up a little bit.
Yeah, it was strange. And I feel like he needs to take a trip to the old bubble barber shop and get lined up a little bit. It's just a new hairstyle, but I feel like it could be sharper. But yeah, good to see him out there. I think he was like, it wasn't even going 90%. I think he was going like 60%.
Yeah, he had a blown layup at the very beginning that like kind of gave it away that he just wasn't trying that hard to me, because it looked like he loaded up like he was going to slam it down and then realized, yeah, he should probably just be soft with it, and then completely butchered it because he was like in between the two decisions. But yeah, a little aggressive. I mean, like there was some nice little playmaking flashes, but overall, yeah, just kind of getting into the groove for him. What do you think of the idea of putting Harry Giles on Giannis? Because, you know, there's no Rashawn Holmes and no Harrison Barnes, which would probably be our options one and two for Giannis.
I mean, I think it's the best option at that point. I don't think Harry's going to do like an amazing job on him, but I mean, he did fine. Like, this isn't a real game, and Giannis would have probably been a lot more physical in a real game, and probably would have. There would have been some more intense scouting, and he would have, I don't know, probably caught Harry in a few more fouls, that type of thing. But, you know, generally speaking, I think he was active enough and the length is there that it's a better choice than putting Bjelica or Bazemore or Bogey. Like, what else are you going to do?
Right. Yeah, totally understandable. And obviously Sacramento did a lot of kind of packing the paint and, you know, doing your best to build a wall when Giannis gets down there, or even like a Brook Lopez posting up, since Bjelica was the one guarding Lopez. And that left shooters open a lot. And Milwaukee was hitting it at a pretty good rate. 45 threes that they shot 44% from beyond the arc. You just left shooters open a little too much. Obviously, it's a difficult thing with Milwaukee, and it's a scrimmage game. You're getting used to it a little bit, but Sacramento was throwing up a lot of threes themselves. They didn't knock it down at quite a ridiculous rate, 33% for themselves on 48 attempts, but the offense looked pretty good, albeit a scrimmage, and, you know, they're going against the Bucks bench lineup most of the time, but the ball movement was nice, and I felt like there was a lot of emphasis of getting threes up.
Yeah, I didn't love what I was seeing on either side of the ball, but again, you're playing the Bucks, and at the end, like, again, it's a scrimmage, and yeah, I don't know. I was maybe it may have rested my eyes briefly during the third quarter because it was just a little too early for me.
Fair enough.
But I think the big story is DaQuan Jeffries.
Yes.
30 plus minutes. God.
Yeah. Well, 30 minutes, I kind of like, this is a little worrisome to me, honestly, in any scrimmage game, no matter like who the player is, but It's not terrible, but like these, there were two plays specifically where he had this weak side rotation and just amazing verticality where I was like, I think he's our best rim protector on the floor right now. And that's just ridiculous. But yeah, I'm officially fully on board the hype train.
Yeah, I'm not sure I saw it, but I like tweeted out like early in the first game that I'm looking for these DaQuan Jeffries minutes at the five. I don't think we actually got it, but it doesn't feel absurd with the number of players that are unavailable.
Yeah. What do you feel like his what positions do you like him at? Like, do you see him doing some minutes at the four? Or?
I think he's a legitimate three. He played, I talked about this before, but he played in the front court in Tulsa. You know, not a big program, obviously, but kind of one of those, I don't want to reach here, but, you know, like those Zaire Smith guys that are like 6'4", but play power forward. He has that sort of front court ability. So, you know, I think he's used to that type of role. Obviously, so I actually, when I spoke with Anthony McClish, GM for Stockton, you know, he talked about like one of the main things they're working on this season, just discussing development of players, was bringing him down from a four to a wing, to a 2-3. And I think like the shooting has got to come around a bit there. And like, he's obviously got to adjust himself defensively. That's the, probably the biggest adjustment is, you know, defending fours in college is a whole different animal than defending wings in the NBA. So it's going to take some time, but like, obviously the physical tools are there. I believe in this kid's smarts and intelligence. He's going to take, you know, you have to learn it. So he's going to have to learn it, but I believe in his ability to do so, no doubt. The frame, like I've been saying this for a long time, that he's got an NBA body and he's like, you know, 225. That's pretty ideal for a small forward, even if he's only 6'5". The 6'11 and a quarter wingspan, 225, I think that's a small forward, honestly.
Yeah, I totally see where you're coming from with that. And yeah, I was pretty impressed with what I saw defensively. You're going to have to see it in some live action, obviously. And you asked me the other day, do I prefer Jeffries or Brewer getting more minutes? And, you know, I'm leaning more towards Jeffries again. I think I already favor Jeffries a little bit. But, you know, this is a guy that obviously is a lot younger than Brewer and more likely to be on the team next season and further on. And yeah, you know, potential young piece that could be a, you know, rotation player potentially. I'm interested in liking what I'm seeing so far. But that's about all that I was able to take from the second scrimmage. You got anything else here? Actually, there was also a nasty Kent Bazemore poster.
Yeah, it was lovely. Balls to face situation. Those are those yeah. My favorites, man.
Set up by Harry and everything.
We've got to find a way for me to go like one podcast without making some reference to genitalia. We'll get
yeah, you know, maybe eventually. But the rest of this podcast, we are planning on doing a mock draft of the lottery. We're going to do a random simulation here. We've done one of these written for the King's Herald, and we figured we'd just sim here and go, 2-3 minutes for each pick and kind of go through the lottery since we've been covering a lot of draft guys. This is a fun little exercise.
We're doing it live. Live mock draft, and it's definitely like a lightning round, so don't worry. You don't have to strap in for the next couple hours. I see your mouse moving over that sim lottery button. Oh. Hang on just a second. I got to prepare myself. Let me ask you, if the Kings jump, like, do we just do that? Because I'm just thinking we don't need to do the whole lottery if they jump. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Maybe if they jump, we like do it real quick to them and then do another one. I don't know. We're not gonna make the listeners sit around here while we like do 10 picks of teams that won't have any consequence on the Kings. Right. But yeah, I think that's the way to go. It's a lightning round. Mock draft. I think 3 minutes per pick is perfect. No more than that for the pick to get in and mm-hmm. our discussion on the pick. So, and then after that, it's just, that's it.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. I like your idea. Good point. If they do jump into top four, we'll probably just go quick until we get to Sacramento's and then resim it with a normal lottery where they're likely picking at 12.
All right. It's live. Let's do this.
Let's hit this. Let's see what happens.
Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. There's no better place to start than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Get in on the action for this week's big UFC fight, or check out odds on NASCAR, Formula One, and the Premier League. Can't wait for your team to come back. BetOnline has futures odds, including win totals, division winners, and even league championships. Or check out daily simulations of Madden and NBA 2K to watch and wager on. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
All right, so the order we got Detroit jumping to first. We have Cleveland second, Atlanta third, Chicago jumping to fourth, Golden State at fifth, Minnesota at sixth, New York seventh, Charlotte eight, Washington nine, Phoenix 10, San Antonio 11, Sacramento at 12, kind of standard, New Orleans 13, and Portland 14.
Have a coin?
I was going to say I had the Sacramento pick on the article. I think you should take it this time.
Sorry for stepping on you there. I was just, who do I have here? That is fair to me. You had to pick on the last time we did a lottery mock. I'll take Sacramento. So I've got all even numbers. You've got all odds. So you're looking at Detroit, Atlanta, Golden State, New York, Washington, San Antonio, New Orleans. I'm taking the evens. Cleveland, Chicago, Minnesota, Charlotte, Phoenix, Sacramento, Portland. All right, enough lollygagging. Let's put 3 minutes on the clock for the Detroit Pistons.
You know, I don't need 3 minutes here for Detroit. I think that the top two picks for me are always going to be Edwards or Ball for the most part. And I think that in Detroit's case, they really need a guy they can just work around everything, be the entire engine of the offense. And I think LaMelo Ball probably has the highest upside in this draft, right up there with Edwards and maybe some other guys at like absolute peak outcomes. But I'm going LaMelo Ball, one to Detroit, be the entire engine of that offense and, you know, just build everything around him at the start of a rebuild here.
Yeah, I think that's the right pick. Yeah, like you said, so someone that I've thought about for Detroit a few times when we've been discussing mock draft scenarios is they just don't have a lead guard of the future at all. You could probably make an argument for the guy that I'm going to pick here, number two for Cleveland. But, I think you go with the ball-dominant guy. LaMelo Ball absolutely is that. And then you can kind of figure it out from there into the future. It's probably easier to put scorers around him than it is to find a primary playmaker like LaMelo. So I like your pick. I am up with the Cleveland Cavaliers at number two, and I've already tipped my hand. But you know what? Here, I'm just going to commit. I'm taking Anthony Edwards, number two.
Yeah.
I really do feel like this is the one and the two in the draft. I can make arguments for other players to be in that tier, and I probably will make arguments for that on KingsHerald.com. But I just think that, like, in a mock draft scenario, which we've talked about being different from a big board scenario, that type of ranking, I just think these are the two players off the board first. It could go either way. But, yeah, for me, Anthony Edwards is kind of your number one guy in Cleveland as well. Like, despite the fact that they have Colin Sexton and Darius Garland, two lottery picks that play the guard positions, they still don't have their number one guy. And I see him as big enough, strong enough, and ball dominant enough that he can fill that role. If Colin Sexton has to, you know, work as a point guard, so be it. If they kind of do some combo guard stuff, be it on Darius Garland's growth a little bit, so be it. I got to choose the guy that can be the number one.
Yeah, I think totally fair. I think Cleveland is going best player available, and I'm with you. I think LaMelo and Anthony Edwards are the 1-2 here. In most cases, I think even if I were to have taken Edwards first, I would really consider LaMelo Ball second for Cleveland just because they don't have that number one guy. And maybe LaMelo can be that guy, even though they do have two point guards already. I think that you know, picking Garland with Sexton already there. Like, they're very clearly just looking for the best player available. And yeah, so I agree with your pick of Edwards there for Cleveland. And Atlanta 3, I'm in a tricky situation here.
I know what you want to do, and I encourage you to do it.
You're talking about Devin Vassell. And man, I do want to, because my issue with like taking Okoro here, who gets mocked to Atlanta all the time, is that Atlanta just does not, like, they desperately need three-point shooting. They were last in the league in three-point percentage last year. And, you know, outside of their core is really where that kind of sucked, because if you look at, like, John Collins, and obviously Trae Young, you have some decent shooting there. And then DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish aren't terrible in that aspect. But, yeah, I mean, I don't really know. Like, I know – I think I like Vassell better than Okoro in general. I'm going to go Vassell here. I messed around doing my own mocks here, and I had Atlanta in three and kind of talked myself out of Vassell. Bryant West, Kings Herald, made an interesting argument for Okoro. But now I'm going Devin Vassell here at Atlanta for three. I think that they just need a defensive playmaker, definitely need a defensive playmaker, especially alongside Hunter and Reddish. I think that's a really interesting defensive wing lineup you can throw out there. And you know, you have a shooter in Vassell as well.
Yeah, it's a great pick. In a scenario that we ran through previously, I think a dream scenario for them, in a way, just because I think they've got enough guys, enough shooting wings to throw there. They may not be a great three-point shooting team, but I think they could use just kind of a cannonball of a weapon that Trae Young can basically just feed constantly and take some pressure off him to create his own shot constantly. But yeah, no, it's a good pick. When I mentioned, like, you know, a big board and a mock draft are different, right now on my big board, I have Devin Vassell number two. And whew, I know that's like a lot. I know it's a lot. And Bryant West is talking me off this ledge constantly. I'm going to stick by it. And it's just because of the doubts of the floor on the Melo ball. I'm just like really worried that there's a scenario where he could just not work out at all and he could flame out, which is, and the floor is just so high on Devin Vassell that I've got him number two behind Anthony Edwards, but good pick there. You ready to move on to my pick at number four with Chicago?
I am. Are you ready here?
I am. I am ready. This lightning round thing, it panics me a little bit.
Yeah.
It does. But,
What do you feel like Chicago needs? A wing,
Point guard or small forward.
Okay.
Point guard or small forward. I don't think that Tomas Saransky has it like locked down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I know where I'd go here.
So I'm looking at, if Vassell were there, that would have probably been the pick for me. Obviously, if Edwards were there, I mentioned, you know, before, but I think Denny Avdija is interesting because he can fill that size of a body that they need. They really do need a 6'9", 6'8 guy. That would be great for them. But Otto Porter's there. If he makes a healthy recovery, I do actually see their number one need as a primary point guard. And I almost went with a pretty hot take here, but I'm going to go with Killian Hayes.
Yeah, that's who I would have taken here.
I think that it's the better choice. If you're looking through the point guards here, and I won't get too far into players that we haven't drafted yet, but Killian Hayes is among a cluster of point guards in this tier for me, of like first half of the lottery, quite frankly. And he's probably the best guy that you could fit next to a high usage guard like Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. You know, Killian, you really like running the pick and roll, but you don't want him quite being your primary initiator. Like if it's a case where it's 1A, 1B, both aren't amazing in that situation, but I think it's good enough for Chicago that, you know, they have decent bigs that they can work with as well. I really like Carter Jr. Markkanen could find his shot again. And yeah, I definitely agree with you there that you need a playmaker and initiator. And I like the defense that you're getting from Hayes there as well. He is in my top tier that we're working with here. And number five here, I have Golden State. And this is a very interesting situation. A lot of players to decide between here. And I'll say the group that I kind of go between here would be Onyeka Okongwu, Denny, Okoro, and Haliburton. And man, Toppin deserves a mention in this too. Okay, so I think I take Okongwu off the table here because as much as I love him, like the Warriors have won championships with Kevon Looney as their center. Like they're really, I think they can find replaceable centers that are going to do the job that they need just fine. I think that they need a wing player, and obviously they're going to want a contributor from the start here. And I think it really comes down to, Toppin to me is a player that's really going to struggle in the playoffs, especially early on. Like defensively, I know that offensively he probably has the highest floor in this draft. I just think that he's going to struggle in the playoffs, and Golden State's a team that's really trying to win a championship probably next year. To me, it comes down between Okoro, Denny, and Haliburton. And man, I kind of want to go Haliburton here, but I think I did this in our a mock we did that may or may not come out on the King's Herald with I'm going Isaac Okoro here. And you know, the high outcome player comp in a way that you hear is really like a Andre Iguodala. And he's a guy that obviously the shot is the worry for him, but he has some nice playmaking and ability off the dribble. And while every team needs spacing, I think Golden State is doing a little better for themselves when you're rolling out probably the two best shooters in the league, two of the best shooters of all time, where those guys are going to supply a lot of spacing for themselves. And I really think that Okoro is going to do wonders for them defensively with Draymond. And while the offense is going to take some coming around, I really think that having that wing defender in a league, in a division and conference where you're going up against a Paul George, LeBron, Kawhi is just, I think that that's going to be really big for them there. So I was really close to picking Haliburton. I think the smart player, but I'm going to give the size of a three, a legitimate three, to Isaac Okoro here at Golden State.
I think it's a good pick. I think it's a relatively bold stance. A lot of people will be side. I know Bryant West, when he listens to this, will be applauding your decision here. That comparison with Andre Iguodala, Bryant is the first person I've heard mention that. And yeah, I mean, he's got a really good point. I've discussed how I don't see a lot of comps for him, and not that comps are the end of the world, you know, or, you know, the whole world or whatever. They don't really matter that much because each player is an individual, but I do think it's concerning sometimes when the theory, when the idea of a player, you can't think of a lot of examples of this type of guy that has worked. So that's my concern for Okoro. But yeah, if anyone could get the most out of him, it does make sense to take him to a team with a ton of spacing. I respect the pick. I think you may have made it a lot higher in a previous mock we did. But so that was a lot for me to handle. This one, I like it. I respect it. I personally will say I would go Obi Toppin here. Yeah. Because I think you can find, if you're the Warriors, it, as rare as wing defense is, when you're a contender, and I mean like a top two, top three contender, could win a championship any year, I actually don't think it's that hard to find. It's teams like the Kings that can't get a single wing defender to sign with them, but the Warriors can get that, you know, type of a dude on like a 1 year deal later in their career, and they can kind of cycle through those dudes. Maybe they can't be as special as Okoro, but I don't think you can really find an Obi Toppin, because Obi Toppin could legitimately be the best offensive player to come out of this draft class. That's a real outcome. I think he's also the most NBA ready as far as offense goes, for sure. And just considering the window for the Warriors being very much in the now, I probably would go Obi Toppin, but I respect what you've done here.
Yeah, I see where you're coming. And, you know, I think that maybe like a situation for Toppin in his rookie year is, you know, maybe he is kind of the focal point of like a bench offense, and that would really do a lot for him. And you're right, a gravity of him rolling to the rim with Clay and Steph obviously shooting, sitting out at the wings. I do see the argument there. I just have a lot of concerns about the defense there. And I also just tend to favor defense a little bit more than offense. Do you have a way that you're leaning number six here for Minnesota?
I do. In our first mock that was written up on kingsherald.com, I chose Onyeka Okongwu. I think that it's a very attractive defensive pairing. We know that Karl-Anthony Towns, just for whatever reason, doesn't seem to give maximum effort on defense. Maybe it's because he's exerting a lot of his energy on offense. Maybe it's because he's just not a locked-in player mentally as far as a defender goes. I don't know. But as attractive as it is on defense to get a guy that can play the four or however you'd categorize them at that point, a guy that can cover for, you know, Towns's defensive lack of defense there, I think it does take away from his offensive game just a little bit. And frankly, if you have a player like Karl-Anthony Towns, who, you know, might be one of the 15 best offensive players in the league, you can't risk taking away from any bit of their offense. I think you need to build your team around their offense. So I worry too much about Onyeka's ability to stretch, so I'm going to go away from him. And I'm going to go with a guard. I'm going to go with a combo guard.
Oh, this that is a guy.
Hold on. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you know who I'm going to cheer. Because this guy, I don't know. He's not my guy, but he's a guy. I'm looking at two different Tyrese's. Tyrese Halliburton.
Okay.
Give me Tyrese Halliburton. You know, like D'Angelo Russell, I don't think he's a true point guard or shooting guard. I think he's like a legitimate actual combo guard, who can play on ball, has the playmaking, has the creativity, has a little bit of the shot creation. I worry about him, you know, getting to the rim. He's very light, very slender frame. But I mean, he's one of the best, if not like the best catch and shoot shooter in this draft. So I think he can play off ball when D'Lo needs the ball in his hands. I think that works. When you want to take D'Lo off ball, I think that works as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think there were a lot of options here. Also looking at Onyeka, Denny, and Obi, I think would be really interesting here too if you just decided to go full offense, since, I mean, you already have Kat and D'Lo as your pairing. I probably would have leaned Denny, but I see where you're coming from here, and I'm probably just saying Denny because I think positionally, while I agree with you, Kat has a lot of struggles at the five, I think you just kind of have to play him there. And I think they could really use a four. I like Malik Beasley. I don't think he's a player that necessarily like you don't draft someone for, but I think it's close enough with these two guys that I like Denny a little bit better for the fit. But I see where you're coming from with Halliburton, especially the off-ball work that he does, and when you already have two really high usage guys. And, you know, Halliburton is a guy that really makes good decisions very quickly after the catch as well, and swinging the ball. And I think he could be placed in that situation a lot in Minnesota. So I definitely like your pick and see where you're coming from here. And then
two quick reasons why I moved away from Denny, but two, as we know and we've discussed, I forget. Remind me on the Timberwolves guy that you speak with a lot.
That's, Dane Moore.
Dane Moore. Yeah. I mean, he knows all too well, and he's discussed with us, and as you know all too well, anyone that watched them knows, they have so few wings that can consistently shoot. And while I would like to believe that Denny can do that, his shooting numbers have been such trash for so long that I just can't bear to give them another, you know, wing forward type that, that can actually hit a shot consistently.
Yeah, that's fair. I think of like a Saric that I thought was decent for them. And I think Denny could be a better case of that, but totally see where you're coming from. There's a very real situation where Denny's shot doesn't work out, and that's a very rough outcome for Minnesota. And yeah, if we're sitting 7 for New York here, you know, New York, I think, is just the perfect landing spot for LaMelo Ball. Like, I'd want that to happen so bad. And by the way, New York just hired Tom Thibodeau for, was it, 5 years, which was so long to me to commit to this coach.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen because Chris Vernon, you know, he laid out his master plan for the Knicks on a Ringer podcast not that long ago. And he said, hire Thibodeau and draft LaMelo Ball and this franchise turns around, which I thought was like the highest comedy I've ever heard. He's being serious, I think. I'm not a big Chris Vernon fan. Love KOC. They're on the same podcast. It creates a great divide, a great push-pull dynamic there. Great guy, but just I was like, man, if they do that, that franchise is going to be gone for another 5 years, and I think that's what will happen, actually.
Yeah, and you know, the situation they're in, sitting here at 7, obviously LaMelo off the table. Man, it's interesting because when I was leading up to this, I was like, you know, I think they just take Wiseman. I think they just take the high outcome guy. Like, they're very early in a rebuild and they just need a star desperately. And Wiseman's really the only guy left on this list that could fully become that to me, even though I don't think that's very likely. But, you know, maybe their one or two core pieces alongside RJ Hampton is wow, I just drew a blank on the name. Mitchell Robinson.
I was gonna say, you said RJ Hampton. I was like, hold on.
Oh wow, no. Sorry. RJ Barrett. RJ Barrett and okay. Mitchell Robinson.
You should draft RJ Hampton.
And you know, we've had Cole Anthony going to the Knicks a lot, just because I see it. But I think that it's very Knicks that one of your two core pieces is a center and you still just draft that position. I'm still going James Wiseman here.
Oh my God, how could you do this?
Is it ridiculous?
I'm heartbroken. Like, I mean, they're only
as
good
much
players.
As I like Mitchell Robinson, center. Like, is that a, I don't know, like, this screams New York to me.
Their only good player is a center. I don't see how you could draft a center. And I'm just going to push back. No, Cole Anthony has been, you know, really falling down draft boards. He's probably fallen from like a consensus one or two to, you know, maybe borderline outside of the top 10. But just as far as like, remember this draft a year ago, this draft was James Wiseman and Cole Anthony. That was this draft
right. At one point. Yeah. You know, I think you're right. And I think the answer is Obi Toppin here. I think it's a guy that's going to really like the lights of New York, and I think New York's going to really enjoy him as well. You have Mitchell Robinson to protect the rim when Toppin does inevitably make some defensive mistakes here. I think that's the way we go here, even though I think they should go a younger guy with more upside.
You can slow down and take a breath and make this pick. I understand if it's Toppin. I actually think that's like a really interesting dynamic combination of a all offensive player.
I was so locked on Wiseman, and then I remember Mitchell Robinson, and I was like, you know, I still think New York might do it because like that is the high outcome guy to me.
Don't let me pressure you. I know I'm trying to push my Cole Anthony agenda on you. Don't let me.
I'm not going
you.
Cole Anthony. It's okay. Toppin or Wiseman.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense to go Toppin. While I think Wiseman is a very Knicks-y move, and I do think he probably has the highest outcome here, I think Toppin's the one that makes sense. You know, they got a little thing for power forwards here. And, you know, maybe Mitchell Robinson is enough of a reason that they don't take Wiseman here. So I'm locking in Toppin.
Final answer. Rest in peace, Regis Philbin. Yeah. Final answer?
Final answer.
All right. I actually think that's a really interesting pick. I don't know that I agree with like the big lights, bright, you know, big city bright lights like Dayton to the New York Knicks is quite.
Well, it's just these flashy dunks.
Yeah, I mean, they'll like it. They'll like it. And you actually have a really, really interesting point about Mitch Robinson being able to clean up for him. Because Toppin loves to – he's like a second-chance defender. He will – you know, I the word on him is that he just won't even try the first time. And he'll kind of – he'll let some players get past him so he can try to contest from behind and get right. that chase down. And use his hop and elevate rather than try to rely on his lateral quickness. But yeah, I mean, if anyone can hide what he does, it would be like Rudy Gobert and Robinson. So like, yeah.
Yeah. I think the pairing is very interesting here. And I think if I would have taken Wiseman, it would have made the Charlotte pick at 8 a lot more difficult for you.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I really do appreciate that. And in every single scenario that we've ran through, Wiseman has gone to Charlotte. And
do you consider Onyeka here? Because it's a center for Charlotte. Like, I feel like it's pretty surely a center, even though they do have other holes. Like, center is just a gaping hole for them. And the two guys are Onyeka and Wiseman. Like, do you consider Onyeka?
I do. You know, you're right. I forgot in our. Actually, the one that we discussed recently was Onyeka. But yeah, I think it is a center. Now let me vamp for a second. Give me something. Discuss these two options for a second while I make my decision.
Yeah, I mean, this is the classic like high ceiling, high floor situation here. And a team that's early in a rebuild, usually you would think you go a high floor guy. But obviously Wiseman's high floor is very worrisome that he actually gets to that point. I will say, like, I think that the spacing that you're getting with PJ Washington, you're pretty much locked into a really good three-point shooter at your four, which could go well for Onyeka that maybe potentially isn't a shooter, but you could say the same thing for Wiseman. That's a real rim runner there. So it kind of depends really just how much you're really buying into Wiseman here. I don't think that there's a, you know, like, I guess Denny's still on the table here, but again, I really think that the hole for them clearly is at the center, or maybe you say like at the one or two guard. But yeah, between the two, this is another situation, like you said, big board versus mock, where I have Onyeka decently higher than Wiseman on my big board. But on my mock, I would understand a situation where Wiseman is going ahead of him because of this theoretical upside there that, you know, is understandable on a pretty fluid moving 7-foot guy with a ridiculous standing reach that I don't have in front of me. Amazing physical tools. So I definitely see the appeal of Wiseman. And, you know, obviously the Onyeka argument is that maybe he just ends up being a replaceable level center, even if it is like an above average replaceable level guy.
Support for the King's Pulse podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over the technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Listen, we all have a time where we have hurt ourselves or at least been terrified to hurt ourselves. I know I do, trimming below the waist. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team has spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. This is a premium tool with a battery that lasts up to 90 minutes, works in the shower so you can take care of your business in there if you prefer that. Also has an extremely cool LED light attached to it that illuminates the grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that chunk of yours, get 20% off plus free shipping with the code KingsPulse at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code KingsPulse, no space, KingsPulse at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code KingsPulse with no space.
Yeah, so with Charlotte here, I think it is clearly the center. You don't want to get too fixated on positions, especially in a draft that doesn't have a ton of stars, but you look at their roster, you think about Devontae Graham, Terry Rozier, like you probably don't want to draft a guard into that right now. And then you've got Miles Bridges and PJ Washington who, you know, surprisingly for any team that's this low in the standings, actually has a couple of forwards that you feel pretty good about and are very young. Yeah, it's got to be a center. So, as you mentioned, it's got to be Onyeka Okongwu or James Wiseman. And I'm a little bit torn about it, but just going through that starting lineup right there, I don't feel like there's a ton of star power. You know, we know what Rozier is. Devontae Graham can shoot the hell out of the ball, but I don't know that he's going to be a real star. You know, PJ Washington looks really good, but, you know, I don't know he's going to get you like a million buckets. I don't know that he's more well-rounded than anything, and I think you could probably say the same thing about Miles Bridges. Like, they're good everywhere, but they're not maybe necessarily a marquee player. So I think I'm leaning towards the upside here rather than the safe play. It's really tough because you actually put a Kongu on this team, you might actually have a really good team, a team that can legitimately make the playoffs very soon. I don't know. I've talked myself into a bit of a corner here, but I'm just going to go for it on James Wiseman because I don't know how many swings you really get. And like I said before with the New York pick, this draft was at one point James Wiseman and Cole Anthony. Those were the prizes. And with the way that Charlotte's trending, they may not get another pick in the top eight. So, yeah, I'm just going to go for it. Home run swing on James Wiseman here.
Yeah, I think I would do the same here. Like you're saying, they don't have a guy that projects to be a star. And Wiseman, you know, potentially could hit that point. And while maybe Onyeka does get you to a 7-8 spot in the East, you're probably just kind of stuck there for a little while, which, you know, I mean, Sacramento fans tell you there's definitely worse situations to be in. But I would do the same thing here and kind of swing on the upside if I was in Charlotte's case. Especially, you know, I think Wiseman at 8 is a good pick there. And for Washington at 9, I was really going to pick whichever one you didn't here. And I'd rather it be Onyeka for Washington anyways. I think that, you know, getting John Wall back, still determined on what level of play he'll be coming back at. And you have Bradley Beal. You have a really nice offensive piece alongside Onyeka to space the floor in Davis Bertans, assuming they're able to keep him around, which it seems like they have every intention to. They have a solid offensive team, and they just desperately need some defense. I think Thomas Bryant as a backup center works totally fine. I think that's likely what he is in the NBA anyways. I am taking Onyeka Okongwu at Washington and just hope that he can be the defensive anchor because he has a lot of cleaning up to do.
I love the pick. I've thought about Okongwu for Washington because he's never fallen this far in really any mock I've seen. This is kind of a take here for him to get to pick 9. Yeah, men are weeping at this for Okongwu, Bryant West in particular, who has him number 2 on his entire board, I believe. But it's a fantastic fit. I mean, yeah, like you mentioned the spacing of Bertans and just knowing that you can have Okongwu hang out, you know, down low, oh, man, that's a big relief because I think the stretch factor of Okongwu is the one thing kind of scaring teams away on some level. So, and if you know you've got Bertans there, first of all, lock up Bertans and then, yeah, make this pick and feel great about it.
Yeah, I definitely do really enjoy this fit. And like you said, this is the furthest I've seen Onyeka drop in any of our mocks or most that I've seen as well. And, you know, sitting here 10 at Phoenix, I feel like I know which way you're going to go because to me, after this, there's a little bit of a tear break.
So I have one player significantly ahead of everybody else left on my board. But I can't pick them for Phoenix. I can't pick them for Phoenix. The fit is no good with Devin Booker. Both guys just need the ball too much.
Who do you have?
You know who I have. I'm trying to push this Cole Anthony agenda. He is storming up my board.
Wow.
He's good. But obviously I can't take him for Phoenix. There's not enough basketball to go between him and Devin Booker, let alone the other players on that team. Ricky Rubio's there. You know, that's not going to work. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, they just invested so much money in Rubio. There's no way they would draft Cole Anthony. So, yeah.
For what it's worth, I think they really need a point guard.
Do you really?
Phoenix? Yeah. I do think point guard and power forwards are kind of the two holes for that team.
I could see that, but I also just don't see that that point guard being Cole Anthony.
Yeah.
Like, he's not even really a point guard in a lot of ways. He just happens to be that size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough.
I see what you're trying to do, though.
I would do some strong consideration of Maxi here.
I see what you're trying to do, Brendan.
I think it's Denny.
I see what you were.
I know Sacramento's two picks away here.
Yeah,
Cole Anthony's gonna be on the board.
Yeah, I see what you're trying to do. It's Denny Avdija.
Yeah,
it's pretty clearly him. Like, I think that if there's a situation where they can not have to hang on to his restricted rights because he's been a bit of a disaster. I think they can let him go, and I think, yeah, Denny is like as close to a one for one as you can get in the draft there. And I don't want to lean on the white Europeanness of it all, but the skill set's similar. Like you mentioned Saric, that comp with Minnesota, it's not a terrible one. You know, if the shot comes around, that's kind of what you want. Denny, I'm low on relative to everyone else. He still makes sense top 10. He's kind of the reverse with Onyeka, where you want him to play with the real center. I think that he can be a stretch four, in theory. And so putting him next to DeAndre Ayton, I think that works very well. They've actually got their shooting kind of covered. They've got Mikal Bridges. They've got Cam Johnson. Like, those sorts of shooting wings. It wouldn't make sense for me to think about, a Nesmith, for example, but – yeah, I feel very comfortable going Denny Avdija here.
Yeah, that was the expected pick going into this for me. Definitely am with you there, and I think that's a nice fit for Phoenix. I mean, I mentioned I think they could use a point guard, but power forward is definitely the clear hole there. And if he can shoot the ball, or maybe Aiden's shooting the ball now, who knows? I like the fit in Phoenix there for sure. And San Antonio, I'm in a really interesting situation here. It's a team that you kind of trust their development. So Cole Anthony is interesting here. I'm trying to think. I don't even know what the holes of this team are. Like, I guess you don't. Does DeJounte Murray make you not draft a point guard?
I'll throw one out here. And this truly isn't me trying to manipulate for the Kings positioning, because I don't, like we've discussed, I think Cole Anthony is, a really tough fit with Sacramento. But one real weakness for the Spurs is shooting. And there's a guy on the board that shoots the damn lights out of the ball.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. Well, I'm talking about Nesmith. I think that I kind of feel like San Antonio, while they are like hovering around potentially going for playoffs, I almost view them as like really early into a rebuild and not far from that. And I almost want to go with the upside guy that's not a guard here. Like, they develop wings pretty damn well. And I think I'm going to reach here. I think I'm going Patrick Williams.
Yes, my man.
I think this would be really interesting for San Antonio. I think that, one of the younger guys in the draft with a lot of versatility to him. I think that they could do a really good job of molding Patrick Williams.
It's the next Kawhi Leonard right there.
I tried so hard not to say Kawhi Leonard when I was making that pick.
Obviously, I'm being hyperbolic, but Like, as far as the best situation for Patrick Williams to end up, I mean, it's got to be San Antonio. You know, he doesn't have, like, the super freak wingspan of Kawhi Leonard, but I did see – I wrote – my most recent draft article for the B was on Pat Williams, and the B ran it with a photo of him just eating a ball with his hands. Like, I don't know what's, if it's just the angle of this picture, but it, like, screamed Kawhi Leonard to me just because he is, like – this basketball is a joke.
Yeah, I definitely saw the picture. You pointed it out. The hands are absolutely ridiculous on Patrick Williams. And, yeah, I think that, that's a team that, you know, you really trust their development. And I think I've left you in a pretty interesting situation here, 12 at Sacramento. You know, Cole Anthony's your guy, right? You put out a draft, a little fill-in-the-blank sort of thing on Twitter. Said, I'd be thrilled if the Kings drafted blank. I'd be fine if they drafted blank. I'd be terrified if they drafted blank. And I was screaming Cole Anthony when I saw I'd be terrified if the Kings drafted. It makes no sense fit-wise. I really hope you're not considering this.
Oh, I'm considering it, Brendan. I'm considering it very seriously. And I need you to discuss some options while I continue to consider it.
No.
I also realize, like, this is the whole point of the podcast, and I hate that I'm put in this position.
Right.
12th is garbage. I hate it. I hate
one,
it.
Every this, time this we do this, part. I'm like, man, one pick above this.
Yeah, not even – I can't even fall back on Patrick Williams, who I'm, in, like, currently in love with for the Kings.
Yeah.
It's like I'm looking at, like, Sadiq Bey, who is – we know he's a role player.
Yeah.
There's – zero chance he's not a role player. There's zero. And then, like, the other guys that are very attractive, we know Aaron Nesmith is a role player. We know it. They're role players. You know, there'll never be more than that.
Chula, you know? That's
like, I would even discuss with you Jalen Smith. But, again, he's a role player. And then, like, the guys that, like, might be more than that are all goddamn point guards. It's Kira Lewis.
Poku,
it's Tyrese Maxey. Oh, my God.
Poku just, and Jaden McDaniels. I don't know what you're disrespecting here for.
Just talk about players while I, like, really shake in my boots for a second.
Yeah, this is obviously the pick of the draft right here. Yeah, I mean, I've kind of been saying I feel like it's going to come down to a Nesmith or Bay, and I think there's a good chance Patrick Williams is part of that group. And, yeah, the more I've watched a Bay, the less inspired I've been of him offensively. And, you know, I think that he can be a knockdown shooter. I don't think it's going to be the level of Nesmith, particularly coming off movement, but Bay does have really nice catch and shoot, quick release that I think he's going to be a high level 3-point shooter at the next level. You know, I do like in this tier, I have Patrick Williams, I have Cole Anthony, Nesmith, Bay, and then I also have Tyrese Maxey. I think is a really good player in this range, but you're not going to be drafting a backup point guard. That's not someone that I see fitting alongside De'Aaron Fox. Same thing with Kyra Lewis. We've talked about him almost in like a Fox-esque role. But, you know, yeah, again, that's a backup point guard. RJ Hampton, guess there's a high ceiling. I'm a little lower on him. Another guy that I don't think you can play alongside Fox. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's there's these developmental guys. If you're looking at some bigs and like a Precious or a Poku, if you want to go there. But again, we've said it before, like how much do you trust the Kings development? And the answer for myself, at least, is not very much. I think understandably so. And yeah, I mean, Josh Green is an interesting wing option, but I would probably look at Bay and Nesmith before Green. Even though I like the defense there, I know Bryant's kind of been rising on him and put out a piece on Kings Herald on Josh Green. And yeah, I mean, I guess you have a safe 3-and-D center option in Jalen Smith in a way. But again, like you also have a safe wing option in Sadiq Bey. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm kind of looking at Nesmith Bey and even Jalen Smith here. It sucks because like I do like Precious. And I think it's a guy that if, again, like if I trusted the development or Sacramento just had some room to really actually take the time to develop guys, that I would give him some consideration. But yeah, I mean, I've been pushing high floor guys. And let me say, I don't think Cole Anthony is that guy.
Oh, Jesus. If we were live streaming, you would see me pulling hairs out of my beard. I am a wreck right now. It's 10:48 p.m. I'm going to lose sleep over this.
Who are you playing?
I know who I'm picking. The pick is in, Brendan, and you're going to hate it, and I'm going to hate it, and every single person listening is going to hate it. They're going to unsubscribe from this podcast. They're going to remove their Patreon donation from kingsherald.com. I'm picking Cole Anthony.
Oh, shit, Reg. Oh, no. Oh, my
God. I don't even care.
God, I hate you.
No, listen. Yeah, no, listen.
Oh, shit.
This is why. This is why. You know what? Actually, no one's going to unsubscribe from this podcast. And everyone who's not a Patreon is going to go over, pop $5 down on the Kings Herald. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because Sacramento Kings fans have been screaming for years, best player available. And I said this about the Charlotte Hornets. You don't often get a chance to pick a guy that has legitimate top two, top three upside in the draft. Cole Anthony has legitimate top two, top three upside in this draft. I understand he's not, you know, maybe not that Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball level upside. Let me really look through this. So, first of all right, I've done ceiling like median and floors for all these guys. I get that his floor is very not good. It's very low. I understand that. You know, the median thing, he's six on my board, and that kind of lends itself to that. You know, maybe it's more of like, maybe he's the 10th best player in the draft. Maybe it's even worse than that. I don't know. I think he can return value on the 12th spot, but the ceiling on very legitimate. This is what I have in my notes. Elite self-creation. If this isn't, and I'm saying in a best case scenario, right? Elite self-creation combines with positive physicality to form an offensive engine for a team. Shooting and defense is legit. The pedestrian passing can be offset by teammates. Could be the best player on an all right team or an all right player on a good team. Legitimate all-star potential. You cannot say that about anyone else on this draft board. There will be no all-star. The only all-star potential left on this draft board is Cole Anthony. He's a good athlete. Doesn't have a great wingspan, but, you know, 6'3", you know, 6'4.5" wingspan. Not a complete disaster. It maybe you're putting Fox on the better defender. You know, as you use Fox as the better defender in that scenario, if you have them both. But that's not what I'm worried about right now, because Kings fans have been screaming this for so long. Pick the best player available, figure it out later. And I'll tell you why that's okay, because straight off the rip, Cole Anthony is going to be a legitimate microwave scorer off the bench. Yeah, he's not a great passer. Yes, that's a problem considering he's in a point guard sized body. But I believe in his ability to legitimately fuel the offense. I don't know what else to say. I know I'm running out of gas here, and I know it's going to be crowded backcourt. Jettison Corey Joseph into the sun if you must. You know, so be it. Whew. You know, De'Aaron Fox, Cole Anthony, Buddy Hield, Bogdanovic, even if one of those guards, you know, has to go eventually, pick the best player. I agree. I've fought this for a long time, but when faced down the barrel of the gun, I'm not gonna pick Sadiq Bey. I'm not. Not at 12. No. Not when there was a guy that legitimately could have been the number one pick if we were, you know, if we were drafting preseason.
You know, I see where you're coming from. Like, I understand it. This is like Anthony clearly is the last guy with like a semi-realistic all-star potential happening. Like, you know, there's, you know, I guess you could say Poku or some of these other guys, but that's just more of reaches. Extremely high-end outcome of that happening. Yeah, I mean, just is there a case where like Anthony and Fox actually work side by side though? Like my argument would be, are you hindering Fox's development because you're spending time developing Anthony?
It's not a good case. I understand that. But his shooting is real enough that, you know, he definitely can do some catching and shooting, like some catch and shoot stuff. He can work off screens decently enough. We don't really see it a lot with UNC because he was the only human player on that team. But yeah, I mean, like, I think like his off ball skills are good enough. His movement and understanding of an offense, his IQ is good enough that it's doable. And you can have him kind of prop up an offense by himself in the second unit for a while. Defensively, it's going to be a real problem. It's going to be a real, real problem. But yeah, it's kind of like the reverse of your New York pick with, you know, James, you considered James Wiseman and Mitchell Robinson, like that pair. Obviously there's no upside to it. And I guess I talked you out of it, but it's a different story at 12 when I just don't buy that. Like, I like Sadiq Bey a lot. I can't sit here and tell the good people of Sacramento, here's a role player. They need more than that. They need more than that.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, I know we're not doing any trades in this situation, but is this a case where you would really look to trade back this pick, assuming someone's really interested in Cole Anthony here? Because I mean, your whole argument is that like Cole Anthony's clearly the best player on the board. Like say Orlando at 15, I think they really use a point guard, you know, and maybe it's ridiculous to think they'd trade like their future first along with it. But you know, if Orlando came to you and offered to move you down three spots, and I don't know what else they're adding to it, but,
yeah,
but something
they're
like
not
that.
Adding much to win a trade. You need to get the best piece out of the trade. So no, I'm not trading down. It's a huge drop off after Cole Anthony here. I'm aggressively trying to trade up. I'll tell you that. Aggressively.
Yeah.
I'll package Buddy Hield in this.
Oof. Yeah.
And we'll move up. I'll package Marvin Bagley in this and we'll move up. I'm not gonna give up on, because we've done a scenario like this so many times and it's always the same 11 guys. And then you're stuck. You're stuck with, you know, Patrick Williams or Sadiq Bey. You know, the only other thing that I could see making some sense here would be Tyrese Maxey, because you can sell yourself on him guarding twos. But then you're running into the redundancy of Buddy and Bogey. Because, you know, I like Maxey's upside as well, but then you have to move one of Buddy or Bogey. And it's like,
don't you also have to if you go Cole Anthony?
Yeah, exactly. But like I'm saying, like I'm gonna do it either way. Like okay, the only player I'd consider is Maxey. So like, yeah, down the line, you do have to do it. But I'm just gonna buy in here on upside. I'm gonna buy in here. Like if the Kings have to run, you know, three guard sets for a little while until they figure it out, and they gotta figure out a way to make Cole Anthony like a permanent six man. Fine, figure it out. It's really tough. Maybe, you know, maybe you do trade him. Maybe he pops and you realize, you know what, we can't keep this guy from being a starter anymore. We do have to trade him down the line. So be it. It's still a better trade asset, I think, in that scenario than a Sadiq Bey. It's really tough. I'm sweating it. You know I'm sweating it. I don't talk this fast this often. I'm concerned. I'm frustrated. But
damn. Yeah.
Sacramento, you've asked for the best player available forever. Congratulations. I'm here.
Oh, shit. All right. Wow. I don't know what else to say about this. Like, I get where you're coming from, but holy shit, this is a pick that I've hated for Sacramento. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. I definitely see where you're coming from. I probably would still lean Nesmith or Bay, because like while they don't need a role player necessarily, like I see where you're coming from. I do think that in a way they kind of do need role players. Like they struggle to find legitimate role players on the wing. That's why they just overpaid the heck out of Harrison Barnes. So
if you want to sit here be a coward. I'm not going to stay.
Fair enough. Yeah, you're definitely not. You definitely are not.
That's the move you make, and you keep your job. So, like, I get that. I like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Vlade can make that pick, and it makes sense, and there's no friction, and I get it. And it, like, he, that's like the way to like preserve his longevity with the franchise, but I'm not in that position. So I'm okay with fulfilling the fantasy of Sacramento of actually choosing the most talented player.
Yeah, fair enough. And I'm going to move on to, we have two more picks here, and for 13 at New Orleans, you know, this is another interesting reach here, but I've liked this fit. I think that, you know, I mentioned Sacramento's not really a team that I think has the time to really develop guys. I think that New Orleans is in that spot where they, you know, their core is really all revolving around Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, but clearly Zion specifically. And you have a little bit of time before he just fully becomes what could potentially be the best player on a championship team. And I think you have a good enough core that you kind of are free enough to go for a swing for the fences here, because if Alexei Pokusevsky were to work out for you, and I realize that that's a reach, but if he does, and that is your fit alongside Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, you really become a just ridiculous team. And I think that New Orleans is in a spot where they are able to take that risk. I don't think many teams are, but New Orleans is the one for me. I've liked the Poku fit here for a while. And you mentioned like Golden State able to get decent role players in a way that Sacramento's not. I think New Orleans is going to be in that spot since they do have, I think, just having Zion on your own and also a Drew Holiday. I've liked the Poku fit in New Orleans for a little while here, and I'm sticking with that one.
I think it's a very good pick. I think a lot of people really want to see Miles Turner end up on that team by hook or by crook. And it just makes sense. I mean, like, you need spacing for Zion, someone that can kind of, you know, bang when he has to, but also can sit out on the perimeter if he has to. I think that even though it's too high for him, I would be intrigued by like a Jalen Smith fit here as well. Mm-hmm. A guy that can just block shots and drain threes. But yeah, no, I don't hate it at all. I think it's an interesting pick. It's honestly one that I hate to say it, but I considered for Sacramento as well. And it's so tough because Pokusevsky, he came out of absolutely nowhere. He like popped up onto the second round pick radar about a year ago, and everyone's response was, oh no, everyone in Sacramento, oh my God, oh no, there's a Greek player. There's a Greek player in this draft, right. Which means the Kings are going to waste a pick on him. And then he like started rising, and it's like, oh no, he's like a legitimate high-end second rounder. And it's like, oh sweet Jesus, the Kings are going to spend their first round pick on him now. It's not, they can't get him. They can't like bank on the 43rd pick or the 35th pick for him. They've got to spend pick 12 on him. And I can see that as a very real scenario. Although I think the fear of God that's been put into this front office from failures recently will steer them away from that. They'll just want to
just go for Cole Anthony instead.
Yeah. I mean, quite frankly, yeah. Because like no matter what you have to say about Cole Anthony, you can't say that he's not a known quantity, that he hasn't been on everyone's radar forever. As much as the fit can be problematic, and as much as he's slid down the board to like 10 or 11, that range, there's no way on earth that Cole Anthony is the gamble that is Pokus.
Yeah, that's fair. And, you know, we've heard a lot of like, how does Sacramento get the second star alongside De'Aaron Fox? And, you know, maybe Poku's that guy. And also maybe Anthony's that guy, even if the fit has a lot of questions. But like, this is one of the few ways that you can actually get that star. It may be the only real way for Sacramento. Like, I don't see them having a super enticing trade package or anything, is really through the draft. So I get taking these high outcome guys even though I've been an advocate for the low floor. But yeah, I think that, yeah, two real swings here back-to-back, Sacramento taking Cole Anthony and New Orleans taking Poku, is a very interesting outcome. And it leaves some okay options for Portland at 14 here, the very last pick we're going to do in this mock, end of the lottery.
Yeah, so last pick, Portland Trailblazers are going to select Sadiq Bey. And I think that this actually is kind of informative of why I wouldn't select Bey at 12 for Sacramento. Because I think even though Portland and Sacramento are like on the same spot in the standings, essentially, I do think they're in very different places in their franchise. You know, Portland's been to the Western Conference Finals recently. They've been, you know, they've got their, they're just heavily locked in. You know, they've got a legitimate, you know, every year all-star potential MVP candidate in Damian Lillard. They've got Nurkic coming back. They've got CJ McCollum also super locked in, long-term contracts on, you know, players that we know are good. Even if they didn't make the playoffs this year, or even if they, that team only needs a little bit more. They're getting their, you know, Collins has been out. They're getting two guys, two key guys back, and they struggled so much at the forward position, so much so that they traded for Trevor Ariza. We know that they've struggled at the forward position, so I think that Sadiq Bey actually does make sense for that scenario, but you got to understand the differences between the Kings and the Trailblazers there.
Yeah. I think that you have a good point. I've, like I said, the more I've been watching Bey, I've kind of been slipping a little bit more on him. I think I was higher than most in general before. And I really would consider Nesmith here, but yeah, I mean, perimeter defense is obviously more, likely. And, yeah, I mean, I think there's a good chance you're getting that from Bey, and there's a real question with Nesmith there. And like you said, they, Portland needs it so desperately, they traded for Ariza. In the same way that I said Golden State needs wing defense, Portland also in that Western Conference is going to need that same wing defense, especially when you reach the playoffs. And, you know, Bay's not necessarily going to be a stopper of those guys, but it's better than a lot of the options that they have now. They've had a hole at the three for a while now, and I do like that fit. And I know we're not going to the pick, but I'm just realizing here, Orlando's going to have a lot of point guards to choose between at 15. And that is like their clear hole. I think Orlando's at a really interesting spot that I didn't realize. But yeah, should I kind of run through all these 14 picks that we went through?
Yeah, if you got them all written down, I've been just a nervous wreck. So.
Yeah, I got it. Well, you had the Sacramento pick, so I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so first in our Kings Pulse 2020 NBA Draft mock, we have LaMelo Ball going to Detroit. With number two, we have Anthony Edwards going to Cleveland. Number three, we have Devin Vassell going to Atlanta. Number four, we have Chicago selecting Killian Hayes. Number five, the Warriors select Isaac Okoro. Number six, Minnesota takes Tyrese Haliburton. Number seven, the Knicks select Obi Toppin. Number eight, the Hornets select James Wiseman. Number nine, Washington selects Onyeka Okongwu. Number 10, Phoenix takes Denny Avdija. Number 11, the Spurs take Patrick Williams. Number 12, the Kings select Cole Anthony. Number 11, the Pelicans select Alexei Pokusevsky. And number 14, the Portland Trailblazers select Sadiq Bey. Whew, this was fun. And yeah, we got a spicy one this round.
I'm not going to sleep a wink.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, I will say in the future, we're going to have a very interesting mock on this pod that I won't release too much about. But I think these are really fun to do and give us, like you said, and we've said it a couple times, big difference between a big board and a mock. And when we're going through our profiles, we're kind of building our big board. And yeah, there's guys that are lower, like Opoku, I have pretty far down my board, but I think he makes a lot of sense for Portland and different situations like that. So I think this is really fun to do, a good exercise. And yeah, we'll definitely be doing this again in the future.
Yeah, and I'll give a little bit more of a teaser than that. we are at some point in the next month going to release a full mock draft, bringing on a couple experts to help us pick. We're going to be dividing up the picks evenly, and we're going to do, a full 60-pick mock draft so we can really get into their 3 second-round picks, as I know it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure everyone is just fiending for those second-round picks. But that's going to be a lot of fun to do for sure. I'm definitely looking forward to that. And, do you have anything else for today's episode?
I'm a wreck. I'm a mess. Please give your money. Please give your money to King's Herald.
I literally cannot believe it, dude. Oh my god! I swear, when your tweet went out, I would be terrified if the Kings drafted it. It just screamed Cole Anthony to me. And sure enough,
KingsHerald.com. Check out the Patreon. Thanks, guys.
And thanks to everybody for listening to this episode of the Kings Pulse Podcast. Hear from us again in the next couple of days.